Okay, the title of this week's parsha is Parsha's Mishpatim, and the title is Helping Your Enemy. We're going to start off with a video, and it's called Stages of Moving. Here we go. Get into it. Let's go to the videotape. No tape anymore. Here we go.
All right, move out is 1 week away.
This is not going to be like it was last time.
This time is different. I have a list.
But before we get to that,
gotta crack a beer.
Not good to move glass.
It's too fragile.
Tape, check, boxes.
Boxes. Boxes.
Dude, you're getting a Dell.
Boxes.
Aha! Check.
Dolly.
Where is the Dolly?
Oh, it's at my folks' house.
House.
House of the Dragons. There's a new episode on.
All right.
I should order some food first. Let's see if I can get a whole turkey leg.
Oh, that was so good.
Are dragons really not real?
I can't believe Taylor's gonna have a fourth kid.
Oh, jeez, that is a heck of a rack.
Oh, shoot, I gotta get moving.
All right, hire movers.
Two men, one truck.
I'm sorry, you charge how much an hour?
Well, we're moving couches, not organs.
All right, who do I know that owns a truck?
Barry, how are you?
Tim.
An ice fishing trip?
It's summer.
Miles.
No, you can't be too hungover to help yet. I'm moving next Saturday.
You know you're going to be hungover that far in advance. Got it.
Joe, I can't thank you enough. I'll have everything packed up, I promise.
What are you doing here?
Did you just wake up?
Oh, yeah.
You caught me in my packing pajamas.
Come on in here.
It's pretty much ready to go.
Did I come on the wrong day?
No, I'm pretty much done. I just gotta toss a few odds and ends into some boxes.
I thought you said they were gonna be filled. They are the opposite of filled. They are empty.
There is still stuff on the walls.
Don't worry, you won't have to help me pack it all. Unless you want to. I mean, that would make this go a little bit faster. I'm gonna keep going.
Oh, I forgot I had this.
I missed you, buddy.
I was here the whole time, brother.
I knew you were Hulk. I'm sorry, I just forgot.
Oh, sorry. We're wrestling buddies, not hugging buddies.
Can't forget the bag of bags.
Or the other bag of bags.
Or the other extraneous bags.
And of course, the garbage bags.
And the paper bag.
And the doggy bag.
What is this?
Oh!
My old cell phone.
Oh, it's still got some juice in it.
Yeah, it's got all my old text messages.
Oh, it's got all my old text messages.
Claire, I love you.
That was the last one that was sent.
I don't get it. We were doing so good until I invited her to Walleye Weekend.
And then nothing.
Freaking nothing.
Shoot. Shoot. No, no, no. No, turn on.
Come back, Claire. This is all
it's
I have left.
I didn't mean it. Claire, come back.
Okay, cooler. Perfect for the shoes.
The shuler.
Hey, Matt, do you have anything to eat?
Yeah, no, I'm making you lunch for sure. Peanut butter and
duck egg
sandwich.
Yo, on second thought, why don't I just order you some off Eat Street?
Anything under $5.
Oh, I get free delivery.
Oh, my sciatica.
Hey, did you guys order the brats?
Yep, that's us. I actually got a tip for you in my pocket. If only I had an extra hand.
You can actually tip in the app.
It's a big tip, too.
Fine, do you need a hand?
I mean, if you insist, that'd be great.
Perfect. You guys are doing great. Lift with the legs, not the back. Hoister up there.
Doing good. Hey, no hands. You guys got this.
That's not going anywhere.
Hey, thank you so much. Here, I got that tip for you. Boom. There you go.
Thanks. Take it easy.
Right. Yeah, you too.
Pivot!
I am pivoting!
Didn't you say you measured this couch?
Well, that's not going anywhere.
All right. Has anybody been involved in helping the old buddy move? Yeah, but good. All right. So let's get to the important, all important questions about moving. All right. Okay. Sorry. How many people did Charlie get to help him move?
Like three.
The guy, Charlie was the guy wearing the red shirt. He called multiple people to help him move. And how many people was he able to recruit to move?
One.
Okay. What are people's fears about helping people move?
Moving.
Let's call them fears, concerns, reservations. What when it comes to helping their buddy move?
I wouldn't really say it's a fear. It's just like no one likes to move. So why do you want to help someone else move their stuff? It's not your stuff. It's their stuff.
Correct. There's nothing more frustrating, exhausting, frustrating than moving. Moving is...
All the pizza and the beer in the world don't make up for having to like wake up early and go to a friend's house and pick up heavy stuff all day.
I don't know. I like lifting heavy things, so a little different for me.
All right. So, but you see that
you can make like a CrossFit thing out of it.
The thing, hey, you know, whatever, bribing them, whatever. Now, what would the stage of the moving make? Why would the stage of the moving make people more resistant to help Charlie move? Since there are not, there are many stages in the moving process. What is the stage that happens right before moving?
Packing.
And what if you're the friend, what do you not want to do?
You don't want to pack anything.
No, you don't want to pack anything. But right. And you're concerned that you're going to show up and the guy says, oh, I just have a few items to pack. Meanwhile, this guy, Charlie, guy woke up in the morning and he's still in his pajamas and he's completely not packed.
Right. You just want to show up. He's got the van there. Move the boxes.
And that's it.
And move on to the truck and then out of the truck.
And move on with your day. Not you don't want to be giving up your whole Sunday to help your buddy Charlie move.
Right.
Now, I mean, I moved out of an apartment in like 3 hours. And it was my own apartment. Like, it was a one bedroom. I did it in like 3 hours. Like, me and my dad and like one other person.
That's very good. You got it down.
So heavy stuff. That's why.
Okay. So here's the thought question. If one announces to their 1,500 Facebook friends that Sunday is moving day, how many people or volunteers will he get or she get from their 1,500 Facebook friends? Elazar is going with the big zero. So is Scott. Zero. Okay, now, but let's say the person realized that just posting it is not going to work, but actually needs to actually recruit friends. So oftentimes you will get friends to help, but what is the average time that a good friend will dedicate to the move?
Half of the day. Yeah.
So you say half the day. What did Julie?
Hour and a half.
Elazar?
I'm deciding with the hour and a half, but then again, I've helped somebody move for like a whole day.
Well, you're like a nice guy. Okay. So.
No, I just like lifting heavy things. It gets a lot of anger out.
So a lot of people want to be quote unquote Yotze. In other words, they want to come there, they want to help out for half an hour to an hour. You know, and be done up, you know, and they'll say, Charlie, I love to be here all day, but you called me late. I have other responsibilities, blah, blah, blah.
I can help you pack, but I can't help you unpack or
I'll help you get on the truck, whatever the thing is. Now, moving toward the Parsha. If Charlie was inviting people to a Super Bowl party with a really nice spread, how many good friends would come?
Lots of people. Everyone.
Everyone.
Everyone. And long would they stay?
Till the end of the game.
Till the end of the game, till the food is over, whatever comes first, whatever. So, right, they're going to be there for the long haul because you're giving them a party. So that gets to our key point. What does the scenario? We have the moving Sunday on one hand, and we got Super Bowl Sunday on the other hand. What obviously is people's definition of friendship?
Well, there's the ones that like the free food and that stuff, which is not really a true friend. And then there's that friend that will actually give up their Sunday. And I think that's the definition of a, you know.
The fact that you'll get more people for the Super Bowl Sunday spread means that most people's definition of a friendship is the person that I participate in the party of life. And when you have to do with the annoying parts of life or the tragic parts of life, they are nowhere to be found. Right? So if you want to separate who are your friends, are quite basically if you call them and ask them to be there for you for a moving day or God forbid something worse, those are your friends. Okay, The people who will come join you at your at a party at the Super Bowl party and enjoy, you know, subs and three kinds of wings and French fries and onion rings and beer. You know what I mean? Those are people who just want to party with you. Those are not really your real friends who are interested in joining with you in a journey of growth and wisdom and insight and becoming the better version of your of themselves. I'm saying those are two kinds of friends, okay? So this is a way to differentiate that. So with that background, we can now appreciate this is a Parsha Mishpatim. It has 57 mitzvot. Basically, this was told to the Jewish people on day two of Har Sinai. They heard the Ten Commandments. The next day, the seventh day of Sivan, Moshe read to them these Mishpatim, these civil laws that have to do with society. And this is one of them. All right, so we turn to Julie. Read it out. Devarim 23, it's only one verse, one pasuk.
Are you able to show it or should I
open you know something? That would be helpful to actually do the sharing of the screen. Correct. Thank you. Hold on 1 second. I'm just going to. All right.
If you see the donkey of your enemy lying under his load, refrain from leaving it to him, rather release it together with him.
Okay. So imagine the scene is like this. You know, there's the contemporary one is with a car, but let's deal with the Chumash one. You see, by the way, it's talking about a Jew who the Torah describes as your enemy, which is, we'll have to get into that. But basically what happened to the donkey, it has such a large burden. Basically the animal has collapsed under the weight of the burden. So the Torah warns a person, don't leave it to him to unpack it and repack it. Okay? You got to help him. The Torah repeats this mitzvah again in Devarim. All right, Julie, let's read that passage for.
You shall not see your brother's donkey or his ox fallen down by the way and ignore them. You shall surely help him to lift them up again.
Okay, very good. So here, so the Torah repeats the mitzvah. Okay, so we're going to get to question number 7. Why does the Torah teach us the case of helping the donkey of your fellow Jew when he's your enemy? In contrast, the case of Devarim, where it's your fellow Jew, as described as your brother. Okay, so it's interesting in this week's Parsha, it says, well, obviously, if you have to do that for your enemy, you certainly have to do that for your, to the fellow Jew who's not your enemy. Okay, so we have to get, that's a question we were trying to, that's the main question of the class tonight. Why is the Torah expressing it in this kind of weird way? You guys want to take a shot at it right now, or you want to? We'll wait. You can take an initial shot at the question, or we can do it. We'll get some more information to you and see if you guys can, as we develop it.
Because I think the point that the Torah is trying to make here between Shmos and Varim is that if you can make peace with your enemy, you should be able to make peace with your brother too.
Certainly, if you can, the guy is, we're not talking about a guy who's making peace with them. They're just says, what must you do? What are you prohibited from doing? What are you prohibited from doing here? What is the Torah saying? What are you not allowed to do? And what must you do? Doesn't mention making peace.
Don't stand by idly.
Well, it's kind of just keep on going. You know what I mean? Just leave him with his problems. You know what I mean? His donkey is collapsed under the weight of the burden. Basically, what has to be done is all the boxes have to be taken off the donkey, right? The animal has to be lifted up and has to be carefully repacked, right? That's what the donkey, that's what needs to happen here. Now, which gets to question number 8, which we'll get to is, the Torah prohibits hating your fellow Jew. How is it possible to have an enemy? So The Torah says, "Losisna esachikav levecha." You should not hate your fellow Jew in your heart. So, how you have an enemy, somebody you hate? So, what case are we talking about? We're gonna answer that question. So, I'm just all right. So, in order to understand that, we're gonna go into the Rambam concisely teaches the mitzvahs that are related to this. So, all right, keep on going, Julie. You're doing great.
When a person encounters a colleague who is on a journey and his animal has fallen under its load, he is commanded to unload the burden from it. This applies whether the animal...
So I don't want to teach you the Hebrew. Just teach you the Hebrew is called prika. Prika means taking, is unloading the burden. So you got to lift rope. You got to do prika. You got to unload it. It's a mitzvah. Now, very important. This is not a nice thing to do. This is a Torah obligation. Okay, keep on going.
This applies whether the animal was carrying a burden appropriate for it or a burden greater than it could bear. This is a positive commandment, as Exodus 23:5 states, you shall certainly help him.
Good. Okay, so there's a basic thing is you got to unload it with him. It's a mitzvah, and regardless if the guy made a mistake or not, you still got to do it. You can't say, well, you're a big fat idiot. You put on a huge amount of boxes. Of course the animal's going to collapse under the weight. You can't do that. Too bad. You got to do that. You got to unload it. You got to do pre-cut. Keep on going. Halacha number two. Keep on going.
One should not unload the animal and depart, leaving the wayfarer in panic. Instead, one should lift up the animal together with its owner and reload the animal's burden upon it. To Ina,
right, that's reloading it.
As Deuteronomy 22-4 states, you shall certainly lift it up. This is another positive commandment. If one leaves the wayfarer in panic without either unloading or reloading, one has negated the observance of a positive commandment and violated a negative commandment. As Deuteronomy states, you shall not see the donkey of your brother and conceal yourself.
Okay. So if you leave the guy, if you just leave the guy to a situation, either you don't unload it, or you unload it and then you don't repack it and you don't help the guy out, help the animal up, there's a negative commandment. So there are total, so how many mitzvahs in total do we have here for this whole scene? How many mitzvahs are involved in this scene?
Two.
Nope.
I'm going from memory, but I think it's three, right?
It's three. Two positive, one to unload, one to reload, and what's the third one?
To not let the animal suffer, or to not.
Not to, you know, you can't leave the traveler in a panic. You just can't leave him, you just can't leave him behind. Say sorry.
But that's a v'ahavta lerech kamocha, a positive.
No, it's a separate mitzvah. It's a separate mitzvah of
helping your friend.
You should hide yourself from him.
Shouldn't hide from him.
Okay, so it's a special mitzvah. So you literally in this scene, which is probably common, we're going to get to the modern day applications. Okay, we're going to get to that. We're talking about three mitzvahs. One, to unload the burdened animal. Two is to lift up the animal and repack it. That's the second mitzvah. And the third mitzvah is prohibition is you shall not leave him in panic, which means either you did unpack but you didn't reload, or you just left them all, you just didn't do anything. You just abandoned the guy by the side of the road. You know, so these are three mitzvahs that concern the situation.
But how about, like, when it talks about earlier an enemy? I mean, I guess just because of everything going on in Israel right now, I mean, how about if it was, like, a terrorist brother or something? Like,
well, it's talking about a Jew.
But earlier it wasn't.
Yeah, it was. We're going to get to that. We didn't get to you. Okay. So hold the issue about the enemy is an additional question, but I want to ask a more basic question. Forget about let's say it's just a regular Jew who you don't know. Why do you think the Torah had to have three mitzvahs around the situation? There's a lot of why three myths about this one scene, one situation. Why do we have so many mitzvahs about one mitzvah to unload it, one mitzvah to lift it up and repack it, and one prohibition, don't hide your eyes, don't run away from the guy, don't leave him in the lurch. Why are these, and as Chaim basically point, we have a basic mitzvah, b'hat rechamocha. You should love your fellow Jew as yourself. So that which you do not want to be done to you, you should not do to others. So certainly that would apply here. So what's going on here? Why is there three mitzvahs in this situation?
Because you made
and the hint, obviously the hint is the video that I showed you at the beginning of the class. That's the hint. The hint is Charlie and the moving day.
It's easier to walk. It's easier to ignore or pretend that someone's having an issue or... and try and just walk past it, or I guess in the case of moving, like, you know, come up with an excuse why you're not going to help.
Exactly, because it goes back to our definition of friendship. The average person definition of friendship is, who is my friend? The person who I join for parties and simchas. Not there for to deal with their annoying stuff. This could take hours. Unpacking the donkey, repacking it. This is going to eat up a big chunk of your day. And not only that, the lock goes on. You actually have to escort him, make sure that he's safe. It becomes a major hassle. And the bottom line is, you know, have you heard the phrase? Oh, he is a fair-weathered friend. Have you heard that expression, a fair-weathered friend? You hear that phrase? So it basically means a fair-weathered friend. He's a friend when things are going great. When things are bad, you don't see them. It's the same idea. So the Torah is here is that it knows that the person's natural tendency is, I don't want to be hassled. I don't want this to be my problem. It's his problem. This is not a simcha. This is annoying. I don't want to help. The natural tendency of a person, the default setting of the person that the Torah is trying to refine, is actually quite selfish. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, but why three still, right? Why specifically three?
So they broke it up. They didn't leave it. They did not leave it to our imagine, because that gets to the second part of our analysis. There'll be friends that want to maintain the friendship. Then you have a level of friend that said, no, we'll think like this. If my good buddy Steve is moving, okay, and I don't show up at all, then he will not invite me to the Super Bowl party. You know what I'm saying? Our friendship will get damaged. So I got to show up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, the mitzvah knows that a guy feels, I unpack the load. Let the next guy pack him up. Why do I do all the heavy lifting? You know what I'm saying?
What about Arvis or Kol Yisrael?
Kol Yisrael Reim Del Zeh, that's the goal.
Is that also a commandment or a mitzvah, or is that
Kol Yisrael Areim Zeh is a halachic, is sort of a state of the relationship, which means that I could, for example, if I've already made Kiddush, I can make Kiddush for a person again, because we have a societal bond. We are Areivim. We back each other up. You know what I'm saying? It has a halachic idea. It has a sort of a philosophical idea. But
right, so I would have to back him up until it's done, not just for an hour.
Exactly. In other words, the Torah is blocking the guy the shot, like, I can have. I have to him. Let somebody else. Why do I have to be the sucker? What am I, the sucker of the month? I got to unpack it, and then I got to repack it, and then I got to make sure he's taken care of. So therefore, the Torah is make sure blocking all the shots over here. Because if the guy's left, he's not going to leave the scene because that's his merchandise. That's his money. And meanwhile, he's going to be stuck out, you know, on the road with his stuff, packing it up, and he's going to become very vulnerable. Okay? So that gets us to our next halacha. All right. Julie, finish us up. It's the last halacha that we're doing tonight.
When a person encounters two individuals, one whose donkey has fallen under its load and one with a donkey whose burden has been unloaded, but who cannot find anyone to help him reload it, it is a mitzvah to unload the fallen donkey first because of the pain that the animal is suffering. Afterwards, he should reload the other animal.
All right, stop right there. Make sure everybody understands that. So if you're on the way and then you find two Jews, they have two donkeys. One guy, the animal is about to fall from the weight of the burden. It obviously is causing the animal a lot of pain because it can't really sustain it. And the other one, the animal is freed from the burden but needs to be properly repacked. So which one are you obligated to deal with first? You got to unpack the animal that is straining under the weight or repack the animal so the guy can go on his way.
The one who's straining we have to deal with first because Tsar Bala Chaim is more important.
Tsar Bala Chaim, because we're concerned about the pain caused to the animal. But there's a wrinkle. Okay, Julie, read the next statement.
When does the above apply? When the two people he encounters are both friends or both enemies? If, however, the one whose donkey must be reloaded is an enemy and the other is a friend, it is a mitzvah for the passerby to reload his enemy's donkey first in order to subjugate his evil inclination.
That's interesting. If what the first halacha is, if you have two donkeys and two guys, let's say either has a wonderful relationship with, then Tsar Bala Chaim takes precedence and you got to help up the animal, which is straining under the burden. But if the one who is straining is your friend and the one who needs to be reloaded is your enemy, you got to reload the enemy first. Why, says the Rambam? Because to subdue the evil inclination, the Yetzer Hara. Okay, so the obvious question is question 11. The halacha is very concerned about causing unnecessary pain to animals. Yet in the case when it's your enemy's donkey that needs to be reloaded and it's your friend that needs to be unloaded, you do your enemy first. Why? This is the shocker halacha. You would not expect this. This is the curveball halacha. We need to explain that. Okay? So we need to understand that. Why would you do that? So the Ram, it says that you have to do... If the animal that needs a prika to take under the burden is your best friend, and the one that needs to do teina to reload it is your enemy, you do your enemy first. Why, says Rambam? To subjugate your evil inclination. So my question to you is, well, what is the evil inclination that we're talking about here?
To not help your enemy, which is revenge, basically.
Right. We're going to get to what the enemy is, but basically, you don't like this. You don't like this guy, right? And therefore, you don't want to take care of him. So your selfish emotions are going to be like, well, forget him. You know what I mean? I want to help my friend. All right. Now we're going to have a big reveal. What is the enemy we're talking about here? Okay, so, all right, so, Julia, one more paragraph. Take it home for the night.
The enemy mentioned in the Torah is not a Gentile, but rather a Jew. One might ask, how is it possible for one Jew to hate another? Is it not written, Leviticus 19:17, do not hate your brother in your heart? Our sages explain that this is referring to a person who is wicked. In such an instance, it is a mitzvah to hate the person until he repents and abandons his wickedness. Even if he did not repent yet, if one sees him in panic because of his cargo, it is a mitzvah to unload and reload with him instead of leaving him inclined toward death. lest he tarry because of his money and be brought to danger. For the Torah showed concern for the lives of the Jewish people, both the wicked and the righteous, for they are attached to God and believe in the fundamentals of our faith. And Ezekiel 33:11 states, say to them, as I live, says God the Lord, do I desire the death of a wicked man? I desire that the wicked return from his path and live.
So the Rambam says, who's this wicked guy? It's a guy who is somehow, is not a person who the other person has a personal vendetta or gripe against, or he doesn't like his personality. It's a person who is defined as wicked. Now, that topic about who is a wicked person, the Hebrew word is a rasha, that's a complicated, that's a shear in and of itself. So we're not going to tackle that topic because I don't want to do two shear, one shear. I want to do one shear. So we're going to leave that definition vague. And it's a mitzvah. If a person is defined as a rasha, as a wicked person, a wicked Jew, it's a mitzvah to hate him until he does tshuva, until he returns. But even so, you're out there and you see his donkey, about to collapse under the weight of the burden. You have a mitzvah to help him, because what's going to happen? If you ignore him, he's going to be stuck there with the animal and the burden. He'll be stuck out there on the road, vulnerable, between cities. And what can happen to the guy? What can happen to this guy? What happens if you're out in the sticks with your stuff and you can't move and you have no mobility, but you don't want to leave all your precious cargo? What? You can die. So the Rambam has an unbelievable thing, is that the Torah, I'm going to read this is the money line, this is the mic drop line of the Rambam. For the Torah shows concern for the lives of the Jewish people, both the wicked and the righteous, for they are attached to God. As the Pasuk in Yechezkel says, say to them, as I live, do I desire the death of the wicked man? I desire that he returns to his path and live. So even though the guy is a Rasha is a wicked guy, the Torah has special, even, and therefore, v'hadrecha kamocha, you should love your fellow as yourself, does not apply to him, because he's a Rasha. But in this case, because he's vulnerable, and he might, and he would die because he's going to be nervous about leaving his cargo, if he has to do it himself, bottom line is, we want him to live another day so he could do tshuva. So you have to help him out. Got to help him out. And a person has to overcome their emotions to help them out, even if it means tzar balechayim. In other words, tzar balechayim, avoiding unnecessary pain to animals, is a very important thing. There's certain, for example, I don't know if you're familiar with this, there are certain things that on Shabbos, rabbinic things, you can tell, let's say your dog is or your animal's sick in pain, you can tell the non-Jew to take the animal and get it healed. You know, certain, or you're there are certain things you're allowed to do for your animal to avoid tzar balechayim. Okay, but here, in order that you should have the proper attitude toward a fellow Jew, even if he's a Rasha, and you don't want to help him out because you're justified because he's a wicked person, nevertheless, you got to overcome those selfish feelings. You got to overcome those selfish feelings. So that's the thing. So now I want to apply these cases into three modern-day scenarios because none of us transport cargo on donkeys or on the backs of animals. So we need to – I'm now going to apply these three mitzvot, to modern-day applications. And here we go, scenario number one. Rivki Emgier's frenemy, Beth, is moving. No one likes Beth. She is the most annoying person in the group. She gets the dreaded bagels. Sunday, March 8th is moving day. Come and help. Bagels and muffins for everyone. What should Rivki do?
Well, I mean, you're calling her like the frenemy.
She's still, what does it mean? Like, in other words, she is part of the group, but of the, you know, everybody has a circle of friends, right?
Right.
And the people, there are certain people that you enjoy spending time together with and more, and some less. This is the woman that you like. This is the woman that Rivki finds to be very annoying. Doesn't mean she has no redeeming qualities, okay? So she has no, she doesn't want to hang out with her. You know, sometimes you're doing, like, you're moving with your buddy, could be a little fun. You know, you're schmoozing, you're hanging out, you're joking around. You can make a, you can make a somewhat of a fun experience. This is not fun. So what should Rivki do?
I think she should go and help just because she's a quote-unquote frenemy. This is one of those times where she has a halakhic obligation to go and help, even more so. This would be a bigger mitzvah to help.
It would be a bigger mitzvah because she, you know, the problem is that, you know, now technically it's not the exact same case. In other words, she's not, it's not that Rivki, not that Beth is in danger with her cargo. She's currently, she's just, it's just a case of moving. And we, you know, we should not relate to our friends as, what have you done for me lately? What are you, you know, a fair-weathered friend? The bottom line is that she needs help. It doesn't mean she doesn't necessarily spend their whole Sunday. She can dedicate, I don't know, a couple hours, whatever it is. But the bottom line is that, as Elazar pointed out, is that the fact that you don't like her so much, it's a greater perfection, a greater development to work on that. And help her, even though, because she's in need. She needs. She's in need. Like, obviously, she was really wealthy. She can get a hire a moving company that will do the packing. You know, they call that, the phrase is an executive move, right? Because paid by the company, that's enormously expensive. Most people don't have that option. They have to do the packing themselves, and maybe they might get the moving company to do the actual schlepping. But whatever, she needs help. It's a big mitzvah to help. It's certainly v'hadrei chamocha. Just if the shoe was on the other foot, if Rivki wanted people to help her, certainly she'd want Beth to come. So the bottom line is, you got to be there for your friends, not just for the simchas, but for the difficult times or even the annoying things. All right, scenario number two. This is an application of the mitzvah. Jake Mjair is driving along and sees Rivki's annoying friend Beth stopped on the side of the road in her U-Haul. She had not packed well. The back hatch opened, and a lot of her stuff has fallen out. The truck needs a complete repack. What would the mitzvah require him to do? Now, he's driving along there. Can you visualize? He's driving along. What does he want to do?
Keep going.
Pretend like you didn't see it. Keep driving.
I don't see it. I'm not looking. Nothing happening. Let's keep on going. How do we deal with Beth? She's annoying. And because she packed like an idiot, now I have to spend an hour and a half repacking her U-Haul because she packed it like an idiot. The mitzvah says, yeah, that's exactly the mitzvah. That is the mitzvah. The donkey is now the U-Haul van, okay? Because that's how we move. That's how we move stuff. And she, and it fell out. You got to help her out. And I want to say, to the credit, for many years, I would be going up to the Catskills. I mean, I played music, and there were always people who had the road to the Catskill Mountain area is Route 17, okay? Route 17 is always filled with religious Jews, Hasidic Jews, Yeshivish Jews, all kinds of Jews. And there's invariably, you know, their minivan or their truck or it has a problem. And I always see, to the credit, I've always seen that. And you are stuck in the side of the road. It's a terrible situation. People come and help. This is the mitzvah. You know what I mean? The person's stuck on the side of the road. They can't change a tire, whatever. They got problems. The mitzvah stopped. You know what I'm saying? We can't. In America, they call that, oh, you're a good Samaritan. Okay? No, that's the basic obligation. As even if the person's an enemy, even if he was a Russian, you have to stop. Call the Chomer, a good Jew, decent Jew, got to stop. Okay, last scenario. We're going to end up early tonight. Sarah Mjair is visiting her
Rabbi, question, though.
Go ahead. Chaim, lay it on me, baby.
I'm saying if the people themselves, right, they get.
Kai, finish it. We're not hearing you. time?
I think it might be a cell connection.
All right, so we're gonna
different category here.
Chaim, we didn't hear you. Got to say your question again. We didn't get your question because you sort of dropped out for that part. We'll circle back to you. Last scenario. Sarah MGR is visiting her friend Susie, who is sitting Shiva. As Susie's leave, many say, we should only have simchas. What is wrong with this statement based on the mitzvah of helping your enemy? How should Sarah modify the statement?
You can't be expected to, you know, if you're like a good friend, you can't be expected to only be invited to like fun, happy-go-lucky, easy stuff. Sometimes you gotta put the work in.
Yes. Is life composed only of simchas?
No.
No. There are shivas. There are. We're not going to dwell only on shivas, but there is a shiva. And when a person's sitting shiva, they really, really, really need you. They need to feel part of the community. Can't be just left alone. You know what I'm saying? So when she says we should only have simcha, that makes it sound, first of all, it's not how life is. Life has good stuff and bad stuff. It has smachot and it has sarot, joy and tragedy. That's part of life. That's the circle of life. So when she says we should only have simchas, that seems, A, it's not real. And B, this seems to be saying, as what Scott was saying, that our relationship should only be about simchas. Right. That's not friendship. Yes, a good friend will be able to give you a l'chaim at the simcha, but there's also other parts of life. So how should Sarah modify as she leaves Susie's shiva? What could she say would be a little more accurately and a little more balanced?
Isn't it what you typically say when you leave a shiva house?
No. In addition to saying "Hamakom yinachem eschem b'soch shor yisraelim," everybody says that the blessing of consolation. You know, may the omnipresent one comfort you among the mourners of Zion in Jerusalem. That's the official blessing of consolation. Right? But people add to that. They always say, and that's when they'll say something nice. So instead of saying, "Oh, we should only have," you know, people say simchas, only simchas. People say that. But that's
too Rabbi, this is your pet. Rabbi, this is your pet peeve, though.
I'm arguing there are two issues. One is not reality because life is a simcha, a smachot, and sarot. And as Chaim said, is that it's also trying to say that makes it sound like, you know, in an unspoken way, like, you know, I don't want to hang out with you during the annoying, uncomfortable parts of life. I only want to be there for the l'chaims. That's not a good quality friendship. So how would Sarah say more accurately something which is a little more both accurately and more sensitively? What could she say to Susie? So she could say, looking forward to join you at a simcha. You know what I'm saying? It's not saying that our life, our relationship is only smachot. We're having that we're together, I'm with you together in your shiva. Okay, I'm here, 100%. But let's look, we can look, but we're allowed to look forward to a simcha. I look forward to spending a simcha with you in the near future at the right time. You know what I'm saying? So it's giving a much more balanced idea of the friendship. No, obviously you don't want a friend who's only tsaros. You want to have a friendship which is tsaros and smachot. You want to be there, you know, you want to be a good friend who's there for the good times and the bad times because you're really trying to help each other, help us improve, you know, point stuff out. I want to be a better version of myself, you know what I mean? Be honest with me, you know what I mean? Tell me when I made a mistake, you know what I'm saying? Not just the person who's friendship cannot only be eating buffalo wings at the Super Bowl party. Nothing wrong with eating buffalo wings at the Super Bowl, but that can't be the only thing. So that's the basic point. Any questions about this? Chaim, we didn't hear your question because you dropped out when you started to speak. So if your connection is better.
Oh, I didn't realize. Can you hear me now?
Hear you now. Go for it.
Yeah, no, I was asking, you know, but if because we have so much help, right, that we have Chavirim and all these organizations and people know that they're going to get help, so it would seem to me that it's like people start to hire the donkey that already has a limp or who's in a bad shape, that they know the donkey's not going to make it half the time. Or they're wishing on a miracle.
I don't know about that. Nobody wants to have their car break down on Route 17.
No. I said it the other way around. It becomes if there's a system systematically, you always know that there's somebody going to be there. There's such a great chance, not just because of so many people, because of the people don't prioritize getting a nicer car, let's say, or a nicer donkey. Right, so is the mitzvah still the same, or is it like sort of
mitzvah the same? Mitzvah is the same. The Ram said, even that's why the Ram said very interestingly, he says you have to do prika, you have to unload it, whether the animal was carrying a burden appropriate for it or the burden was greater. In other words, so even if the guy who loaded up the car or loaded up the U-Haul did it improperly or put too much stuff, and the reason why there's a breakdown is because the guy was an idiot. There's still a mitzvah to help the guy out. You know, so going back to the U-Haul case, the person like Sue, Beth, she did it wrong. We can't say, well, you made a mistake. You got to suffer the consequences. So we don't say that. So you got to help out. And the truth is, if somebody, and related, it's not the exact same mitzvah. A person has a broken, you know, the tire breaks, you can just pull over. And they can, if they say, look, thank you so much for stopping by. Don't worry, I have, you know, some service,
AAA,
Chavirim, or they have any other emergency service coming. They're on their way. Okay, fine. But just that gesture of being a source of support and offering to help is very important. There's the physical help, and then there's the emotional support. Both are equally important. You know what I'm saying? The Torah is trying to, you know, help us that we're not going to. Tonight's really the mitzvah is all about friendship. We're trying to make a new. The Torah has a high aspiration for what kind of friend we are to be to our fellow Jew. And basically, it's not to be my friend is a guy who I hang out and have who I party with. Only a friend is that we're on a journey together to grow and learn from each other, and we're there, and therefore we're there for both good times and bad times. And the areas where we don't want to help, like moving or schlepping, the Torah made not one, not two, but three mitzvos surrounding this area to make sure that we don't rationalize it. Either A, do no help or partial help. The old stop by for a little bit and throw a few boxes in the old truckaroni. No. Gotta do the deed. That's it. And the truth is, this is annoying, but it refines your, you really become a refined person from that. You become a sensitized person. Person who can do this mitzvah without complaining, that's a righteous person. It's a righteous Jew. It's funny. He's a righteous Jew, but you'll say, what is he doing? He's schlepping. Yeah, but sometimes you're schlepping and helping your fellow Jew out. That's a huge mitzvah. It's huge. Loading up the truck. You're getting schwitzy. You're getting dirty. Yeah, it's a beautiful mitzvah. All right, so we had a couple scenarios here. We had Susie, we had Beth, we had all different scenarios here, guys. So, all right, something to think about. All right, hopefully, this is not a scenario that's going to happen, soon in anybody's life. But if it does happen, you'll be there for your friend. All right, guys, have a good night. Lala Tov.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.